Lee. Turn to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 16. 1 Samuel, chapter 16. We'll read verses 1 through 7 together. We'll read this passage responsively. 1 Samuel 16, verses 1 through 7. Samuel 16, verses 1 through 7. And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go, I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, Take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord, and call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, Comest thou peaceably? And he said, Peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab, and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. And let's finish on verse 7 together. Ready? But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your presence here in this place. Lord, I sure am glad we have a church that the devil doesn't like. That means we're doing something for you. Father, please fill my preacher with your power today. May it be said, as of ages ago, there's a man of God in this city. We're sure glad we have our man of God. Fill him with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts, change our minds, and change our lives, please. We're a needy people. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'll read to you again one verse, and I'll tell you a little history of the story that is attached to this verse. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 16, But the Lord, and this is verse number 7, But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Here's the story. God is in the process of rejecting Saul as king. Saul had been the king, but God is about to remove this man named Saul from being king. Samuel, the prophet, his heart was very, very heavy about the fact that the king was being demoted. God says to Samuel, he says, Now Samuel, you're going to need to get over this thing. You get your anointing oil. And Samuel, I need you to go to the house of Jesse, and you're going to anoint a new king. Of course, the prophet named Samuel had been somewhat close to King Saul. Now Saul is going to have to step down, and the Lord is saying, Samuel, you're going to have to go anoint the new king. Well, at this point, Samuel still does not know who the new king is going to be. When Samuel arrives at the house of Jesse, he meets Jesse, and then he begins to meet Jesse's sons. Jesse has a total of 7 sons, and in this part of the story, these sons come by and begin to face Samuel the preacher for a moment, and the oldest boy passes by, Eliab passes by, and immediately Samuel thinks, here we are, we're at Jesse's house, and God sent me here, and God wants me to anoint the new king, and this young man is the oldest of these boys, and so he thought, this must be it. This must be the new king. God sent me to Jesse's house. You've got all these boys here, but the oldest boy is obviously going to be the one, and this boy was tall. He was a good-looking fella.
had a big physique, much like me. You know, if you want to get a good mental picture of folks, when you laugh, it hurts me. Well, this young man, he's a big strapping fella. And so it was an obvious to Samuel, this has got to be the boy. Well, but it wasn't the boy. Matter of fact, one boy comes up and God says, that's not the one. Son number two comes up and God said, that's not the one. Son number three comes up and God says, that's not the one. Son number four and number five, and they go down this list, and the boys step up and meet the preacher, and God says to the preacher, that's not the one, that's not the one. It actually says in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance. See, when this first oldest boy steps up, Samuel virtually steps up and says, here's the one, I guess. And God said, no. And the way God handled it, the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I refuse him. In other words, he said, that's not the one, that's not the one, that's not the one. And the Lord said, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Now, for some of you, say, well, right there, the Bible says it don't matter what you look on the outside. That's not what that means. That means God knows what's going on down inside you. You may look good on the outside, but that may not be the case down inside you. This is not a justification for people to look like and dress like and act like animals on the outside, just as long as you got something good going on the inside. That's not what God's doing here. God is not justifying an outward dirtiness because of an inward cleanness. No, if you're clean on the inside, it's going to come out, believe me. But God said, you can't see all of man by looking at his outward appearance. And God is saying here to Samuel, don't let the color of his hair fool you. Don't let the length of his nose impress you. Not the height, not his stature that we're looking for. It's not his fair complexion that we're looking for. See, God sees what's on the inside of man, and that's very important to God. That's more important than somebody that looks good on the outside. God said, we want to see what's on the inside to go along with some of those good looks, that stature on the outside. Samuel, then, says to Jesse, you understand, this man named Jesse had just introduced a big crop of his sons to the preacher because they're getting ready to anoint a new king. The preacher goes through all these boys and he almost picked one, and God said, no, you're not seeing it the same way I'm seeing it. And he goes, no, not that one, no, not that one, no, not that one, no, not that one. And the preacher says, well, that's all the boys. Jesse, that's all the boys. And God said, well, ask if there are any more sons. So, in verse number 11, Samuel asked Jesse, are here all thy children? He was saying, do you have any more kids? Jesse almost apologetically says, well, my youngest boy, but he's out taking care of the herds. David, Samuel says, fetch him. And so, you know, that's the exact words that God used, fetch him, so it's okay to say fetch, okay? For you educated people, it meant retrieve him. I say fetch him. So the man of God said, you go fetch that boy to me. And Samuel then meets David, and God says, he's the one. That's the boy we were looking for. The Bible says in verse number 13, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. You see, notice that the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. That means David was empty of himself and he was willing to be filled up with God, if you will. The Bible says in verse number 14 of 1 Samuel 16, but the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul. See, David, God came and God anointed and filled David with God's Spirit. Saul was the outgoing king, and the Spirit of God had departed from him. You see, David was empty of self so he could be filled up with God. He wasn't full of pride and arrogance. Saul had become filled with himself, and there was no room for God much in his life. The Bible says that David then was anointed king. And it says, but the Lord, remember this passage, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Folks, let me tell you something. You may look good to all the other human beings, but what really, really, really counts is what God sees, and God sees from the inside out. God knows you from the inside. The real you. You see, God knows your heart. I want to show you something. I have 2 gallon jugs here. If you notice, they're the same height. They're the same in color. They are filled basically to the same level with the contents. They look the same. I mean, these gallon jugs are big enough in this auditorium, maybe 1,100 people here on the property this morning. As you look at these jugs are big enough, you can look at them and you can say, you know what, this looks the same to me. They look identical to me. The only thing is, they're not identical. See, there's something different in both of these. But they look the same. They look the same. I'm going to pour something in one of these. Hang on, I'm coming back. Are you all trying to figure out what's in there? This is West Virginia. That's a porn liquor. All right, now I have 2 bowls. I have 2 bowls, but there's something different in each of them. Now they look the same, and these gallon jugs, they look the same. But they don't taste the same. Let's see. Brother Owens, I can use my son for a second. You know what I'd like for you to do? I'd like for you to take just a little drink of that. Just a little drink. Yeah, you can pick the bowl up. Just a little drink out of there. Pretty tasty, isn't it? Okay, let's see. Brother Bush, you come up here for a second. See if you can take a little nibble off that bowl there.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now, Brother Owens, come back up here. Brother Bush, come back up here. Okay, Brother Owens, what's in your bowl?
I think it's apple cider vinegar.
Okay. Pretty tasty.
That's one way of putting it.
Brother Bush, what's in your bowl?
Honey.
Was it good?
Yes, sir.
Was it sweet?
Yes, sir.
Now, let me ask you a question. Yours is the same color as his. Came from the same bottle. Now, which would you prefer to taste?
Honey,
would you like a big old swig of his apple cider vinegar?
No, sir.
Oh, I see. All right. You guys can have a seat there. You see, it's a funny thing. In Christianity, we mistakenly are more concerned about how we look to each other than how we look to the God that sees us from the inside out. That's not how it's supposed to be. We can really put on the dog for each other. Well, let me tell you something. You can't put on the dog for God. You can't fool God. You can't fake God out. God knows your heart. God knows what's going on down inside you. You see, in one jug you have honey, in the other jug you have that vinegar. In one jug you have the sweetness of God. In the other jug you have the bitter, nasty vinegar, sour. Huh. But here's the thing. To figure out what was inside, we had to spill out the contents of the gallon jug. You see, as long as that thing was kept inside the jug, we would not know. I mean, when the lid's on it and it's contained, we would not know what's on the inside. It had to be spilled out. It had to be tipped over. It had to be knocked over, if you will. When the jar is upset, then we get to see what's on the inside of the jar. The Bible says, and it mentions honey and vinegar. Proverbs 16:24 says, pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul. The Bible mentions vinegar in Proverbs 10:26 as vinegar to the teeth and a smoke to the eyes, so is a sluggard to them that send him. The Bible talks about the sweetness of the things of God and life, and then the bitter things of life. Hey, let me ask you a question today. It was obvious the only way that we were going to figure out what was inside these gallon jugs is that the contents was spilled out. Once it was spilled out, we could taste of it. We could really see. We could smell what was on the inside. But until it was spilled out, we would not know. We would not know what was on the inside. Well, I have a question for you today. Wonder if we upset you today. Wonder if you got spilled today. Wonder if, this week, when you got tipped over, you took the bump of life and you got knocked over a little bit. What came out? What came out of you, Christian? Wonder if you got spilled out this week. Now, that spilled out part, what happens is the devil or God, doesn't matter who, somebody comes along, bumps you over, you tip over, wasn't planned, you didn't have time to plan how you were going to behave, and so what happened is when you got bumped and you got knocked over, and the next thing that happened, we found out whether there was vinegar or honey in your attitude. Was there vinegar? Or honey in your spirit? Was there vinegar or honey in the way you responded? I mean, when the bump of life came this week, when you didn't see it coming, when they ran you off the road, what'd they get out of you? What came spurting out? Was it vinegar? Or was it honey? See, we all walk around and we give everybody the old Holy Joe impression. Carry your Bible, dress like a Christian, kind of smell like a Christian, smile like a Christian. Well, God looks at you from the inside out. And you can make the bottle look like it's full of the right things on the outside, but when a sudden bump comes and you get spilled in life, we figure out if you're full of vinegar or full of honey. And I'm not talking about whether you're saved or not. If you're saved, you're saved. But can I tell you something? Saved people can get some pretty stinky attitudes. Saved people can begin acting like they're full of vinegar. Saved people can begin to be sour, bitter, nasty. You can set the spiritual teeth of other people on edge. Son, when you took a gulp of that vinegar there, it affected your teeth and your tongue, didn't it? Ugh. Are you the kind of person that when you come around, people go, oh, here it comes. Get ready for her. Here she comes. Are you the kind of person that when you come around, people say, it's going to be sweet? Here comes a honey attitude. In Luke chapter 6, verse number 45, the Bible says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth back that which bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. When you suddenly get toppled over, when life gives you a bump that you were not expecting, when something happens and you weren't able to prepare to make yourself look good on the outside, and you got toppled over, we figured out suddenly, are you full of vinegar or full of honey, Christian? And then not me, but Christians go around full of vinegar all the time. Now, we're all human. You're going to get a little of that vinegar popping out every once in a while. But hey, it ought to be that born-again Christians have the sweetness of God down inside their life. And when you get sucker punched by the devil, you don't turn into a devil. You're full of honey. You're full of honey. You see, honey in the jar pictures the sweet attitude and the sweet spirit of a godly Christian. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Hey, the internal contents of a Christian are listed here. Now, we're not talking about the label on the outside of the jug. We're talking about the contents on the inside of the jug. God said, now let me talk to you about the fruit of a Christian. Let me talk to you about the fruit of the Spirit. God said, let me talk to you about what you're supposed to be full of. You're to be full of these things. The internal contents of a Spirit-filled Christian. This is what should pour forth. This is what should pour out of us when we get bumped or spilled. Hey, Christian, are you full of the sweetness of God? Talk about love. We're to be full of love. So when we get toppled over, that's what comes out. When the uh-oh of life comes along, honey comes out. And I'm not talking about, hey, some of you married people, I'm not talking about you're nice to your wife one time a year on the anniversary after she reminded you. No, I'm talking about 24/7. I'm talking about a goodness and a cleanness and a pureness between a husband and a wife. And when you get toppled, honey pours out. I'm talking about joy. So you all know you're not supposed to just be happy at church when you're here facing me. See, I preach about Christians being happy all the time. So everybody sees me and they go, hey, high preacher, and it's killing you to smile. Oh, that's not what we're talking about. You would be shocked. Every once in a while, I'll call somebody. I don't use the telephone a whole lot. But you'd be shocked. I'll call somebody, and I'll go, yeah, what do you want? I'll say, this preacher. Oh, hi, preacher. I am so glad to hear from you. I'm thinking, you talk to everybody that way all day long. What's the problem? Paint a little honey on your lips, but your gut's full of vinegar? Won't fake everybody out. God's not looking for fakers. God's looking for some real Christianity. This whole world's full of fakers. We got our belly full of the vinegar of the world. We need to get our belly full of the honey of the sweetness of God. The love of God, the joy of God, the peace of God. We need to get, and these are the internal attitudes of a Spirit-filled Christian. Love and joy and peace and long-suffering. Can you be long-suffering with the people around you? People afraid to tell you, well, I failed. They're scared to death of how you'll treat them when the failure comes. The Bible talks about gentleness. Do you know that there is a way that people can be corrected very gently, but still be corrected? So I'm not talking about people have to be wimps. Okay, well, I'm not soft like that. I'm not saying you're soft because you can control yourself. Self-control is not softness, it's toughness. Sure, everybody likes to grab someone and yank a knot in their tail. But that's not how we're supposed to be as Christians. God said, what are you full of? He said, I want you to be full of love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. You say, what's temperance? That's called self-control. Any man in here that's worth anything, you ought to have a temper. God gave you a temper, but He didn't give it to you to hit your wife. We'll be going around throwing your fits. supposed to have a temper. If you're a man and you don't have a temper, you're probably not all man. You might be one of those halfway in-betweeners. A shim. Man ought to have some backbone and some grit. But if you go around and you use it to hurt everybody all the time, you're full of vinegar. You're full of vinegar. Hey, saved people are to be like candy. You're supposed to be a bit of honey in a sour world. Look, this old world, look, people don't come to the church to be treated badly. We can get that in the world. Might as well just stay out there where everybody kicks each other, spits on each other, backstabs each other, talks bad about each other, dog eat dog. It ought not be that way in the church. We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. What are you full of? Are you full of vinegar or honey? What's down inside you? And I'm not talking about what do I think inside you. I'm not talking about what do the other people in the church think inside you. I'm talking about what does God know that's inside you. Because man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh in the heart. What is a gallon jug of your heart full of? You say, well, how will we ever know? You figured it out recently. You got spilled. Don't tell me you haven't been spilled recently. Yeah, we go through spillings every day of our life. And when it spills out, every time you turn around, it's the same evil, mean, lack of patience, kind of a meanness. It's vinegar. It's vinegar. I was thinking, we have a man here in our church. If you're a guest here today, we have 50, 54 different Sunday school classes. Everybody's invited to our church, the rich, the poor, red, yellow, black, and white. They're all precious in our sight and in his sight. We have specialty classes. We have a Spanish class. We have a deaf class. We have a dumb class. That's taught for the blondes. But we have a class we have three classes for our autistic people, because they're just as important to this church as anybody else. They are not second class citizens around here. We have a children's class called the Joy Bringers class, and it's for our learning disabled children. We have a class called the Sunshiners class. It's for our adult ladies and teen ladies that are learning disabled. We have a men's class, and it's called the Pathfinders class. One of our pathfinders, one of our men, a grown adult man, I'm going to guess he's probably in his 50s, but he's autistic. This last week, he got pneumonia. His name is Teddy. Teddy got pneumonia. Come to church Sunday after Sunday, more faithful than some people call themselves dedicated Christians. Just in church all the time. Teddy had got pneumonia, and it got so bad that it affected Teddy, he got dizzy. And he passed out. When he passed out at home, he hit the ground unconscious. He began to bleed from his mouth. Of course, we all know how dangerous that is. When Teddy was revived, they called the ambulance. They said, Teddy started praying the minute he came to. And Teddy said, Dear Jesus, you got to help me. I can't help myself. Dear Jesus, you got to help me. I can't help myself. Dear Jesus, you got to help me. I can't help myself. You know what we found out about Teddy? We found out what was inside that autistic man. He hit the ground with a splash. He couldn't help himself up. He didn't expect to fall. He didn't expect to hit the ground. He had no time to plan his reaction. And the minute his eyes woke up, he said, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. He didn't throw a fit. He didn't start kicking people. He didn't yell and scream and cuss and turn on everybody. Teddy turned to Jesus and said, well, you better learn to say, Dear Jesus, help me. I can't help myself. What are you full of? What are you full of? You say, Brother Owens, I don't like it when you preach like this. Hey, take it up with God. If I were you, I would sit there and smile like you're full of honey, baby. Sugar Plum, I don't know what's going on inside you. Only God knows that. You say, I'm bothered right now. Ain't my fault. What are you full of? Honey or vinegar? See, the vinegar in the jar pictures the bad attitude of a Christian. The works of the flesh. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, 20, and 21, it says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I told you in times past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now you listen to me. The internal contents of a Christian can be figured out. We'll begin to behave like lost people behave. We better be careful. Hey, let me give you some of these real quickly. We just talked about the bad, the sour, the vinegar. Do you know, it starts out, it talks about adultery here. What we're talking about is disloyalty among people that ought to love each other. What's inside you? Uncleanness, that's both in thought and in life. Hatred. Christians are supposed to love people, not hate people. Wrath, what's it talking about? Your temper, out of control. Strife, those are the people that destroy unity, whether it's in a family, in a church, or whatever. Seditions. You know, if you really look at that word, you find out the word seditions there has a lot to do with the fact that you're hard to please. You suffer and make everybody else suffer with your discontentment. You're not really grateful. You're not thankful unto God and thankful unto your husband and thankful unto your wife and thankful unto your church and thankful unto the people that have tried to be good to you. It talks about envy here. That's jealousy, if you will. Emulations. Talking about people that get so competitive with each other, it really doesn't matter to them whether they're pleasing God or not. They're just in it to fake out people. Now, you better be very, very careful, Christian, and I had better be very careful. We can make ourselves look like we're full of honey on the outside, but when the spills of life come, you're going to figure out what is really down inside you. Will it be vinegar or will it be honey? Are you filled with vinegar? We're talking about hatred and wrath and strife. We're talking about jealousy. Is that what's inside you? Hey, do the people around you know what you're filled with? So they're scared to death that when you're around, it's going to get spilled out and they're going to get affected by it. They say, watch out. Here she comes. Watch out. Here he comes. Watch out. I got to go be around them. It ought not be that way among God's people. You say, well, I'm just that way. Then change. It's what you call growing in the Lord. Well, this is the way I was raised. Okay, then you were raised wrong. Is that what you want to hear said? The way you were raised gives you no authority to go around hurting people and being rude to people and unkind to people. So maybe somebody in America needs to speak up and say, if you were raised wrong, then change it. I don't know anybody that was raised exactly right. You say, well, Brother Owens, you don't know what I've been through. Yeah, and you don't know what I've been through. But I'm still supposed to be a decent, easy to get along with Christian. If we all wanted to, we could just lie around here and whine and gripe and tell about how bad it has been in our life. You want to do that? Well, how about we suck it up and say, you know something? There's some vinegar in me. It needs to get out of there. Honey or vinegar? Honey or vinegar? For some of you that are guests, you go to church all the time. You're going to feel like you've been to church after you leave here today. We're not playing around here. Oh, wow. Honey or vinegar? The honey. What is it? the good spirit that a Christian ought to have. The vinegar? What is it? The bad spirit that can tend to develop in our life. Hey, you say, well, I'm never going to come back here if you're going to preach like this. Let me tell you something. You'll never get away from what I've said today. You need somebody to tell you the truth. If somebody loves you, they're going to tell you the truth and get you out of this mess. If you're full of vinegar, you better thank God somebody has a good sense to say, I love you. Let's spill that out of there. Let's get that out of your life. It's going to destroy your marriage. It's going to destroy your self-worth. It's going to destroy your attitude with your kids and your husband and your wife and your fellow employees. Hey, if somebody's trying to get vinegar out of your life, you ought to thank God that they are. Hey, things that upset the jar of life will help us to see what God sees on the inside. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 16:7, God sees the heart. See, we fool man, but not God. You don't have to be upset for God to know your contents. God already knows your contents. So if you get upset, knocked over, caught off guard, if that happens, it's not so God can see what's on the inside. God already sees what's on the inside. So there must be some other reason for you to get knocked over so it spills out. What is that? Well, maybe God wants you to see what's on the inside. We'll even lie to ourselves. Well, I'm not so bad. We're all bad. Maybe if you get toppled over and a preacher will preach a sermon like this, you'll say, I've been denying I've got a problem. I'm not so bad compared to Saddam Hussein. We should want to fix us. When we get toppled over, it's not so God can figure out what's going on down inside us. In some cases, it's so you and I can face what's going on down inside us. Hey, what heartache has come your way? What spilled out of you? What trial have you gone through? What spilled out of you? Honey or vinegar? What loss have you suffered? What spilled out of you? Honey or vinegar? What situation unexpectedly caught you off guard where you did not have the time to prepare your spirit and what was inside in abundance just came out? And after it was all over with, you looked at the mess on the floor there and you said, oh no! There's vinegar all over the floor. God does that so you and I can fix ourselves up. So we can come face to face with our own weaknesses and say, you're not a finished product yet. You've got a long way to go. Let me say this. The things that upset the jar could help other Christians as well. Something that we all ought to maybe take a moment and examine. Is it possible that God already knows what's inside you? Indeed it is. Is it possible that you already know it and you're working on it? Okay, maybe that's the case. Maybe you say, Brother Owens, I know I've got these problems, and they've been spilled out. I didn't have to embarrass myself to figure it out. I already knew it and God already knew it. Is it possible God wanted you to be spilled out so that somebody else could see how you handle it? Hey, I wonder if God is trying to use you to show another Christian how to be spilled and to have honey come forth. Maybe the more you're spilled out, the more your example is needed because you're surrounded by folks filled with vinegar. Husband says, I just go through it and I go through it and I go through it, but inside my heart is pure toward God, Brother Owens. It's pure toward God. Maybe you're surrounded by a household full of people that are full of vinegar, and God just wants to see, God wants them to be able to see honey coming forth during the tough times. Somebody's watching you get knocked over, Christian. Hey, is it possible that God allowed Job to suffer so we could see that Job would say, though he slay me, yet will I serve him? My wife said to me, and I thank God for my wife, she said, honey, there have been things that have happened to you that you didn't deserve. She said, but sometimes I wonder if God lets it happen because He kind of knows how you're going to respond. And somebody needed to see someone get knocked over
but get back up and smile and keep loving people. I'm not asking God to knock me over. I don't want to be toppled over. But oh God, please, if you topple me over, I pray that honey comes forth. I pray that it's honey. Hey, somebody's watching you get knocked over. Somebody's watching you spill out. Hey, Sunday school teacher. Every one of those little boys or little girls. Hey, Sunday school teacher. Every one of those men or women that sat in your Sunday school class, is it possible that the heartache or the burden or the disappointment came and you got knocked over and everybody gathered around to say, let's see what comes out of her. Let's see what comes out of him. May they see the thick, oozing honey of the goodness of God come out when you get knocked over. Hey, bus captain, what are you going through? Hey, preacher, what are you going through? You say, I don't even know why this is coming on me. I'm getting beat up. Oh, they're crushing me. I'm leaking. I feel like I'm losing my insides to this thing. Yeah, but what's coming out? It may not be you've been bad and God is torturing you. It might be God has some confidence in you. And you're going to get knocked over so some weak, beggarly Christian that's full of vinegar could look at you and say, you know what? If he can face it, I can face it. If he can have a good attitude, I can have a good attitude. If she's not going to quit, I'm not going to quit. Could the heartache have come because God needed you to let the honey out? Because somebody needed to see honey coming out of a broken heart. When your enemy pushes you over, what comes out? Somebody needs to see that you can have a good attitude in a bad world. Maybe your burden's not all about you. Maybe it's all about somebody else. Hey, when the jar's upset and the real contents come out and you see vinegar, let's just all band together like a big family and let's work on getting the vinegar out of our lives. What are you full of? Bitterness? Rage? Hate? Envy, jealousy. What happens is then we take it out on those closest to us while we give the public honey personality and home is full of vinegar. You'll self-destruct if you don't get it cared for. Practice forgiveness. Get rid of the bitterness. Confess your vinegar at the altar today. Don't you be worried a lick about who's sitting beside you, in front of you, or behind you. If you got something going on down inside you that needs to be changed, in a little while we're going to have an old-fashioned altar call. You get your carcass up. You make yourself humble. You make yourself humble to God. And you, in all your pride, walk the aisle. Get on your face and say, God, there are things going on inside me. They've got to be changed. I submit myself to you. I'm pouring the vinegar out. Fill me up with honey. Oh, I cannot. I've cut out a major part of the sermon, but let me say this. I thank God, Brother Jimmy. I thank God when my Savior was spilled out, honey came out. Whoa. Honey, you know what? Why did it happen? Because God wanted Jesus to show me how to do it. God wanted Jesus to show you how to do it. The Bible compares the Word of God to honey. Jesus was the walking Word of God. He was honey. Sweet as honey. As a honeycomb. You know what? They tortured him. They abused him. We're talking about the purest of the pure. We're talking about the goodness of goodness of goodness. We're talking about the great I am. He never did anything wrong. He didn't deserve anything that was negative or wrong that came his way. After they tortured him, you know what he said? Father! Forgive them. They know not what they do. Honey. Honey. Honey from the cross. Honey. Acts 8:32, the Bible says, the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. There's humility. There's gentleness. There's meekness. What is it? Honey. All that happened to Jesus Christ during the crucifixion.
They grabbed his beard. They pulled it out. Though it's not possible, may, for the sake of application today, may I say, wasn't just blood that spilled out of that plucked area of his face. I think there's some honey involved there. They put a crown of thorns upon his head. They pushed it down on his brow until the thorns penetrated his skin, got down to where the blood was. They hurt him. They popped him open. Out came blood. But I think there's a little honey mixed in there. They took a great nail and they nailed his hand to one side of that cross and blood came forth. But I'll guarantee you the blood was mingled with the fruit of the Spirit of God. They nailed his left hand. They nailed his feet. They beat his back. They took a spear and drove it into his side. And I'll tell you something. When Jesus Christ was broken and spilled out, I'll tell you what spilled out. The goodness of God, the honey of God spilled out of him. He was even hanging on the cross according to John chapter 19, verse 29 and 30. Guess what they tried to get him to drink right before he died? Said, Jesus, how about a little something to quench your thirst? They offered him vinegar. Tell you what, but Bob, there might have been a touch of vinegar on his lips, but his heart was full of honey. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, vinegar's all you got going for you. Because it'll take an indwelling of God. You're going to need to ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and be your Savior, and that'll kick the honey process into gear. If you've never been saved, all you have to look forward to is hell. And that's vinegar. If you're saved, you ought to be living like you're full of honey. If you're not saved, you ought to get saved today and let us get the Holy Spirit of God down inside you. Honey or vinegar? What are you full of? Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Every head bowed.